Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Welcome back into Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. If you've listened to the show over the past 15 years, you have learned that I am a sucker for the sport of boxing, all things boxing. In fact, that's what I wanted to be coming out of college. I wanted to be a boxing writer. There's such nostalgia, such history with this sport, and our next guest played a huge role in that history in the mid-80s. He may have never won the heavyweight championship, but he did knock out Ken Norton, in my mind, one of the most underrated heavyweights of all time, went toe-to-toe with Larry Holmes in what was, at the time, the most lucrative fight in boxing history, and also shared the ring with guys such as Jimmy Young, Ron Lyle, and even Big George Foreman. He is Jerry Cooney joining us over the phone right now. And Jerry, first off, it is a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Just got back from the city. I had a great day today in New York. I'm glad to be home, and to be on with you is a great honor to me, too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Jerry. There's so much to talk about. I mean, I guess we can kind of start at the beginning of your career and kind of talk about how, you developed steam in the heavyweight division, working your way up to 1981 with a famous knockout over Kenny Norton. How did things get rolling for you in the sport of boxing, Jerry?
Well, really it was in the amateurs. I got on the United States team and I went over to Europe, had four fights and four knockouts over there. And the team back in the Olympic Committee called me and said that the Russian team was come. All heavyweight Russian team was coming to New York that I want to fight, and I said, "Sure, I would love to fight the Garden." So I got in good shape and went to the Garden, and I was like, "This guy was like 6x6." This Russian rank guy, and I always like to hit him with a shot to let him know what I have, and I caught him on the chin and knocked him out cold. And I was on. I mean, that was a great night. The place went wild. I got a phone call about making it to the finals of the Olympic trial in 1976. But, a lot of things were going on. My father was sick, dying. And I told him I couldn't make it because I had to stay home with my father. And that was not all that true. I wasn't crazy. My father was a very mean alcoholic and there's a lot of abuse going on in our household, and I just didn't have the self-esteem. I really wished that I could have had somebody in my corner to help, push me along to understand what was really going on, the opportunity that I was facing, but I didn't, and I passed it up. And then after that, actually, I was out of high school, and I was turning pro, and I had to go find a manager, and I had to, make a career for myself. And that's how I got started. I hooked up with these two real estate guys, magnates from New York here, and that was how it started. They had signed Howard Davis, the Olympic gold medal winner. I think it would be great because that could be showcased on all of his cards, and that's what I did.
When you go pro, I mean, you have immediate success. If I'm not mistaken, I think the 9 out of your first 10 wins actually came by knockout, correct? I mean, right out of the gate. And so I'm sure that you were hit with a ton of hype, a lot of people talking almost immediately because these were flashy early knockouts.
Well, really, basically, it's kind of like a process. You go to the gym, you work with tough guys, they bring in a lot of sparring partners, and they test you, and they make you look this way and that way, and then you go out, and you feel you're getting stronger, you're getting better from all these different guys they're bringing in. I used to have like four or five different sparring partners in the gym every day to box with. So you kind of developing in a quick manner, and that's when you start to knock these guys down, and some of them were tough guys, some of them weren't, but it was a great experience. It built confidence, self-confidence in me, and was getting me ready for the ultimate dream of fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world.
I've always had this idea, Jerry, that really you were thrusted into that limelight, right? That same stratosphere as the heavyweight champion of the world after your wins against Jimmy Young and Ron Lyle, right before you stepped into the ring against Ken Norton. Is that accurate?
Well, you know, here's the problem for me. Like, I wasn't signed with Don King. Don King owned the heavyweight. And it's a two, both sides of the coin. He didn't want to give me any experience. So when I got a shot with Holmes, I could be better prepared. And my management wanted to make the big payday. So I was in the middle all the time. And I didn't get the opportunity to really grow and to experience. What I really needed, in my opinion, was 3 or 4 more guys in the top 10 so that I could be really prepared to fight a guy like Larry Holmes. But if I fought Larry Holmes when I fought Norton, I could have beat him. I think I was in such shape that night. I thought, wow, I'm in for the fight of my life with Kenny Norton. And I turned it around and I caught him with the right hand to the body. And I figured when you're a pro, you want to take a shot. So I spun him into the corner, and 54 seconds into that fight, he was out. He was out cold. He couldn't fall down because he was sitting on the second rope. And every time I came to my right, the referee was looking. But you're taught to continue the punch.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, in that fight against Ken Norton, you talked about it, one of the fastest knockouts in Madison Square Garden history as we go back to 1981. That level of Ken Norton, to me, is one of the more underrated heavyweight fighters of all time. I just don't think that prime Ken Norton ever got the respect or doesn't get the respect that he necessarily deserves. I think in the all-time rankings, when I talk to people about boxing, what was it about that night that you remember so vividly, stepping into the ring with someone like Norton?
Well, here's the story. What I found out that night going into the ring was that if you back Norton up, which was my style, I was going to put the pressure on you, back you up, not give you my, not back up, but come forward. He couldn't punch backing up. He had to be coming forward. And then I caught him with the shot. I spun him right into the corner, and he was bobbing and weaving, trying to get out of the way of my shot. And I caught him with one uppercut. And I could see him go limp. And so that's the story, is that, you know, you have to take the distance away from a guy like him. If he's coming at you like he did with Ali and all those other guys, Holmes or everything else, he's a much more dangerous guy. But backing off, he didn't have that power.
Again, our guest right now, Jerry Cooney, as we talk about his career. Jerry, this is a fascinating time frame for you as a professional boxer. So you knock out Ken Norton, one of the fastest knockouts in Madison Square Garden history, and then we don't see you in the ring for over a year, and that's when you go toe-to-toe with Larry Holmes. Before we get into the fight against Holmes, tell me about the story and why it took 13 months for you to get back into the ring, riding all the momentum following wins over Jimmy Young, Ron Lyle, and then, of course, Ken Norton.
Well, you know, that's a great question. And what happened was they were trying to fight the fights who were taking place. And then I tore my rotator cuff, so that postponed it for a while. So it didn't take place to like 15 or 16 months. 15 months, I think, from the Norton fight. And obviously, I had torn my rotator cuff, overextending it, and I had to get it left. So you had to rest it. Plus, you know, there was so much going on with racism, and it was a nightmare. It was really a nightmare. Had nothing to do with Larry Holmes, had nothing to do with me. We were just two guys that wanted to fight each other, and it got blown away by, I would think, some of the promoters that were building that fight to try and make the most amount of money as they could. And there's not really any place in boxing for that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think there's a place in sports in general for that kind of rhetoric and narrative. And so to have you speak on that, for those who are unaware, I mean, at that time, going back to Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney in 1982, we're talking about one of the highest grossing fights in the history of boxing. And so much of that was based around race. How was that for you to carry that tag, the great white hope?
Well, I was so grateful that I had 3 or 4 guys I grew up with in high school, who traveled with me to camp, and I had some family there, a lot of friends. And so we never let it into our camp. We never really were exposed to it. We, eliminated that from us. We weren't hearing that news. I think Larry Holmes had his mailbox blown up, and there's a lot of crazy things that went on. And I think, quite frankly, it had to do with the promoter that was promoting that fight. That promoted to make the most amount of money. And you know, the biggest moment for me was when Larry Holmes and I got in the ring together, and he said to me, Mills Lane was giving us instructions, and Larry Holmes looked at me and said, let's have a good fight. And that's boxing. So I go on and we fight. It was 120 degrees that night, and I get stopped in the 13th round. We have a great fight, back and forth. Inexperience hurt me. And, you know, I was so disappointed about losing that fight, although I fought with my heart, put my heart out. And a few months later, we ran into each other. We sat down and talked to each other, and this new bond formed between Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney. And to this day, I was with him 2 days ago. He's doing a golf tournament to raise money for his wife's charities, and we all support him. I was down there with old Jay Anderson, with so many great football players and boxers we all gather around and join forces with each other.
We are being joined right now by Jerry Cooney, former heavyweight contender, who now hosts a boxing show on Sirius XM Radio. We'll talk more about that and his book. Jerry's going to hang around for another segment, so don't go anywhere. We have more coming up. It's Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Sutherland Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Joined right now by a very special guest, Jerry Cooney, who was a contender for the heavyweight championship throughout the mid-80s. And as we went to a commercial break, we were talking about the epic 1982 showdown between Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney, which ended in the 13th round. Jerry, in that fight, you talk about the inexperience. And if I'm not mistaken, there were 3 points deducted. You lost 3 points in that fight, right, to low blows, if I'm not mistaken. And when that fight was stopped in the 13th round, if it wasn't for those point deductions, you would have been up on at least 2 of the 3 judges' scorecards. So when you talk about inexperience, how does something of that magnitude, right, I mean, the whole world's watching this fight, and you lose points on multiple low blows, how did that affect your psyche in the ring that night against Larry Holmes?
As a professional, Larry Holmes was great. He was smart. He was patient. He watched. And every time I come in with all that left hook to the body, he was taking his hand and pulling my head down, which was making the shots go low. But Mills Lane was on my left side, so he couldn't see that Holmes was pulling my head down. So that was very devastating to me because I felt like I was in the fight. I felt like he was the head. He was a great fighter, that was smart as hell. But I was in the fight. And when I had 3 points taken away, it kind of crushed me. And I felt like I couldn't win. And that was an inexperienced thing to do. And had I got a chance to fight, I don't know why, to this day, that we never had the rematch. It was a good enough fight to have the rematch. And I would have been a way better fighter in that second fight. I would have had something to focus on. I wouldn't have got caught up with the drinking and not taking care of myself. And I would have had a focus. I had a lot more experience, and I needed that fight.
That was going to be my next question, why there was never a rematch. I know you have a series of fights over the next few years. That kind of culminates with a loss to Michael Spinks and then a loss to George Foreman to end your professional career with a record of 28-3. And those 3 losses come against elite fighters. I mean, there's no doubt you never lost to a tomato can. I mean, you lost to Hall of Fame caliber boxers. Did you feel that during that time in between, we'll say, the Holmes and Spinks fight, maybe the demons that you were fighting, but still it was unfair for you to not get a higher caliber fight in that time frame?
Yeah, well, the story of what happened to me is waiting around, and plus still processing my brain to try and, you know, understand everything that was going on. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was drinking, and the fight was on, the fight was off, the fight was on. I was out in court in Vegas trying to get the fight made. And, you know, I got distracted. And this was the first time a young kid from Long Island got thrown into a position like this. And I got distracted, and I figured, it's never going to happen. And I started to not take care of myself. And obviously, in my normal life, If I'm in shape and I fight Michael Stinks and I'm healthy, I knock Michael Stinks out inside of 5 rounds. But I wasn't taking care of myself. It was on, it was off. I never believed the fight was going to take place. And I lost touch with what was going on and the focus. And I was like, I stopped enough this round. And that was a terrible thing that happened to me. But hey, listen, live and learn, right? I'm here today. Have a great life. We're talking about a book I just came out with a couple of years ago called Gentleman's Very Contender in the Ring, a champion in recovery. And then obviously I went into promoting after I lost to Michael Stinks. And who was I promoting? You know, besides Roberto Duran, I was involved with putting on some of George Foreman's fight. He was making his comeback. And one day he came to me and I put down the alcohol and straightened out. And he came to me and said, Jerry, why don't we fight? And I looked at myself, you know, I've been sober for a year and a half. Why don't I take the fight? The money was good. I was in shape. I was clean. I was going to do a great training camp, and I did. And I got caught with a shot. I mean, that shit happens. And I got dropped, and that turned the page for me. I was able to get on with my life. I got a beautiful family. 3 kids, 2 boys and a girl. I just became a grandfather. And my son, my grandson is 5 months. He's already got a great jab at 5 months.
Well, you know, when we talk about styles, okay, and this is what stands out to me about the George Foreman fight, Jerry. George called you one of the most powerful punchers he ever faced. And that's a hell of a compliment when you take a look at the resume of George Foreman. But for those who are unaware, I mean, you're naturally left-handed, but you fought orthodox style, which is so fascinating for me to hear George Foreman say that about you. And here we are talking about a natural lefty fighting orthodox. How does that play in to what you managed to do in the ring with power?
Well, that's what happened to me, is that Gil Clancy did a great job of me in training camp. He said, Jerry, listen, I want you to box 6-7 rounds. Don't get caught up in this slugfest. This guy boxed him, moving around. And so during that fight, I caught him with a big body shot, and then I hit him on the chin. And when you're a puncher and that happens, you forget everything. And you want to go in and take him out. But I hadn't been fighting regular. I was rusty, and I got caught with an uppercut, not ankle punch. And I got caught with a shot, and it helped me to turn the page in my life and move on. And it was a great experience. I fought and trained in shape, sober, and I lost to a great puncher himself. And we are good friends. We're still good friends to this day. He comes on my radio show. I'm on SiriusXM channel 156 on Mondays and Fridays from 3 to 5. And he comes on and we talk about the fight, along with many other guests and boxing. Great boxing guys.
I've always been a big fan of George Foreman. What's it like getting caught with a clean Foreman shot?
Well, it wasn't the greatest thing to get caught with. I got caught with that. I was coming down to throw a body shot, and he was good at that uppercut, and he moved that uppercut, hit me on the chin, and it kind of stunned me and dropped me, and it helped me to turn the page in my life and get going. George Foreman was a great champion. He grew up well. He had a lot of great fights. I think when he made his comeback and he knocked out Michael Mora, I mean, that's really some testament to George Foreman. And he's done so many things, so many great things with his life. Listen, I'm still eating his burgers from that burger machine.
Me too. Me too, Jerry. Me too. Jerry, you mentioned the book, Gentleman Jerry. And we've got to talk about this a little bit because it's synonymous with the fight game, right? The obstacles that you overcome in everyday life, you can use those as an analogy in the ring or maybe even vice versa, right? Overcoming obstacles in the ring, we can use that as an analogy to get through everyday life. And I think that is the message of Gentleman Jerry. You had to overcome so much to get to where you are at today, not only in the ring, but also as a family man, as you said, now a grandfather.
You know, I learned not to trust. In my household where I grew up, you couldn't trust anybody. I couldn't trust my parents. My mother less so, but my father was a very angry, alcoholic, had six kids. He was probably angry he had so many kids that he had to feed them. But, you know, he grew up with six kids, and he does the same thing. You know, I grew up in that atmosphere, and I put down the drink. I do not drink. I love my children. I give my children everything. So there's different lessons learned. And unfortunately, my father never got that in his day, and I was able to turn the page and to change what was given to me. My father did the best he could. It wasn't great for any of us, but he did the best he could. And I hear a lot of stories about that generation of people, that they struggled a lot. And so, you know, listen, I did a lot of work. I read a lot. I did therapy. I did a lot of things to help change my thought patterns. And I have a great life today. I love my life. I'm so grateful who I am, what I'm doing, and I love life. You know, I never could say that. I could never tell you that I love me from the work I've done. That's what we're supposed to be given growing up in a household. We didn't get that, but I learned it outside the household.
It definitely is a beautiful story. Jerry, before I let you go, you know, maybe you've connected with a listener today that doesn't know a whole lot about Jerry Cooney. So naturally, in that case, they're going to run to YouTube and they're going to look up Jerry Cooney. Where were you the best version of you inside the ring where you would say, look, if you're unfamiliar about my body of work, watch this fight? Does something stand out to you in that realm?
Well, you know, yeah, it does. And, you know, you think about I was fighting Animal Lopez in Florida, and Animal Lopez, can you imagine that? He was a tough guy, and I beat him quite easily. But I think the big fight for me was when I fought Jimmy Young, who nobody looked good against him. He had 9 victories before we went into the ring, and he had so many victories after we fought. And I just figured him out. You know, boxing is not about slugging, and it's not about you hit me, I hit you. It's about working it out, finding an opening, creating the opening, and landing the shot. And he was so watchful for my left hook that he left himself open in the middle, and I turned the left uppercut into a right uppercut, a left uppercut. And I caught him between the eyes and split his eyes open. He got stopped. He couldn't come out for the fourth round. That fight was a big fight. You know, Ron Lyle told me if he had to crawl across the ring and bite me on the leg, I said, oh, man, look at this guy. But I caught him with that body shot and knocked him out and broke his ribs and took him out of the game. So it built me up. I felt strong with the success. And then again, like I told you, the Norton fight was just, I had put it all together. I tell people the story that you're in the dressing room and you're figuring it out. You're getting wrapped up and put your gloves on. You got a lot of nerves going on. And someone knocks on the door and they reach in and they say, Cooney, you're next. And the first thing you just say, oh, man, here we go. And then you walk down this empty corridor. And they open the door to the stadium, and you hear the roar of the crowd, and that's when you become magical. That's when the magic happens. You figure it all out in those moments from when that door opens to you get into the ring and that bell rings. You figure it out, and you're in control.
It's so great to hear you speak, Jerry. It's so great to talk about the sport and, of course, the book, Gentleman Jerry, where really, I mean, you talk about the Larry Holmes fight, you talk about everything that you've gone through in your childhood to becoming a 2-time Golden Gloves champion, your journey through alcoholism to sustained recovery. It's so great to hear that you're a family man today. Now you're a grandpa. I can't thank you enough for taking out the last 20-25 minutes to talk about your career in the book.
Listen, thank you so much for having me on your show and to all your listeners. Keep punching. Keep your dream moving. You never stop. You keep moving forward, good things happen for you.
Jerry, thank you so much for the time.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
Great to get Jerry Cooney here on Drive Time Sports. What a fun interview. I could talk all day about 80s boxing. And Cooney, definitely a fixture of that era. Fantastic. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. There's plenty to get into, including Major League Baseball and the trade deadline. We're also going to talk some Team USA basketball as well, gearing up for July 28th. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.